So we ask that you'd speak to us today, that your spirit would be our teacher. So transform us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're in Joshua chapter 24. We're going to pick up in verse 14. However, before we do that, I just want to take a moment and ask us to consider what we studied last week. And before we can study this, we have to ask ourselves the question, because it really is one unit. Before we can study the next thing, we have to ask ourselves, do you see, can you see what God has done and what he has been doing in your life? And as we look back at the steps that God has brought us through, we must keep that in mind as we study this text. Has he brought you across the river? And with that in mind, Joshua continues now in verse 14. And this is in this covenant that Joshua is bringing the people to. This is the stipulations. These are the stipulations of the covenant, which means with an informed heart, understanding what God has done in the past, here is now the requirements of this covenant upon you and me, upon the people of Israel. These are the stipulations if you choose to enter this covenant. Are you ready? Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. Fear the Lord and serve him. How are we to serve him? Write this down. We are to serve him in sincerity, and we are to serve him in faithfulness. I hope that doesn't require too much explanation. How do we serve someone in sincerity? Saying one thing and doing another is a good example of what? Sincerely serving someone? Yeah, I'm going to say I'm going to serve him. However, I'm going to do something else. Is that sincere? Is that faithful? Not wavering? We are to serve him if we choose to serve him. If the Israelites will choose to serve him, they are to serve him, in a sense, wholly and entirely. They cannot be divided. Now, this is going to come into full focus here as we keep reading. What does it mean to serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness? Well, first of all, he says, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. All right, students, give me the implications of that sentence. Think about the implications of that sentence. It says, put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt. Now, we've been in this study for quite a while in Joshua. What are the implications of Joshua's statement there as he has gathered all Israel together on his deathbed? He's laying there and he says, I'm making a covenant. Listen, remember what God has done. If you choose to follow him, here's what it's going to look like. It's going to be in the fear of the Lord and in service. And that service is going to start with what? Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. Now, this is a tough pill to swallow. Why? Because we're thinking Israel is what? They have been faithful. They've been good. It's a new beginning. They've crossed the river and things are good. But what are the implications of that statement? Put away the gods your fathers served. They still have them. I wonder if that's applicable to you and me. Well, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. Put away. Remember where we came from? You remember where you came from? Is that in view here? And what God has done to bring you across that river? And now Joshua is saying, put away the foreign gods. You first have to recognize that there are foreign gods among you. Put them away, Joshua says. You say, well, I don't know if that's really what Joshua is saying. Well, let's keep reading and see. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Can you serve God and also something else? Is it an exclusive relationship? Is there any room for worshiping of other gods? Is there any room for having an intention that's been divided between Jesus Christ and anything else? Yeah, but this is just a little thing. You know, I'm really passionate about this one thing. Or I know that I'm supposed to put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And then Joshua, here we go. This is one of the more famous passages in the entire book. He says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, in other words, if you really think that it's not going to work, you don't want to do it, it's wrong to you, no, I'm not going to do that, then here is your option. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose then this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. If you choose not to follow God, you will still be bowing down to another god. That's what he's saying. If you choose to say, I can't do it, or you look at the secular world and they're not followers of Christ, they're not followers of Yahweh, therefore they are followers of what? Another god. You cannot not serve a god. There is a God each of our hearts serve, and it's either only Yahweh, it's either only God the Father, or it is something else, it could be someone too, but it is another God. And so Joshua is saying, if you don't want to serve God, well then you're going to have to make a choice, because you're going to be serving a God. And which is better, the gods that their fathers served, Abraham's dad? Should they serve the gods that Abraham's dad served, or should they serve the gods of the land, of the people of the region that they're in? Well, really, it's like half dozen, six to the other, right? It doesn't matter, in other words. You're going to have to choose, though, because you're going to serve a god whether you want to or not. So, brothers and sisters, if you choose not to follow God, recognize this, you are following a god. And perhaps that god is yourself. Perhaps that god is something else. Perhaps that god is someone. But you can't get away with the idea that, well, we're perfectly secular, aka, I don't serve anyone. Mm-mm. Our hearts bend the knee to someone or something. And this is Joshua's last chance to impart his understanding. As I've lived these 110 years, choose. And if you don't want to serve God, then you have a really vain choice to make. Which God will you serve? In other words, which nothingness will you serve? Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That'd be a good plaque to put on the outside of your house, right? In fact, growing up, we had a doorbell on the outside of our house, and it said JOS 2415. And I was always like, what is that? Joss 2415. Duh. I figured it out. Actually, I figured it out a while ago, but choose this day, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How would you respond if you were the people? What would you do? Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You realize, if this is a covenant, and this is a record of a covenant being kept or being delivered, the people stop the covenant ceremony. They interrupt him. So Joshua says this grand thing, and then before he can finish making this covenant, the people interrupt. There's an altar call without the call. And the people start rushing forward, right? And they say, far be it from us. They start yelling at him, Joshua, far be it from us. Don't say another word. They cannot help themselves. They have to interrupt. They have to stop him. Don't think about anything else. What are we going to do? We're not going to serve the Amorite gods. We're not going to serve the gods of our fathers. Verse 16, the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now remember, they had just spent several moments listening to Joshua tell them what God has done in the past, and their minds are thinking, that's what God has done. This is what God has done. So they interrupt him. They said, God has done these things. I can see in my past he has done these things. Far be it from us that we should do anything else. The Lord who brought us up and our fathers up from the land of Egypt. Notice that they, this generation, include themselves in the generation that was brought up. So they're starting to recognize that God actually did that for us. Though it was a different generation, that was for us and for our fathers. You see that? We could insert ourselves here too. For it is, verse 17, it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. God did those things. We saw it with our own eyes. We can recognize it. We've seen how he's brought us across the rivers. And this valley was not an obstacle for God. And this valley was not an obstacle for God. He has done it. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites. And how did God, the gods of the Amorites, fare against God? And among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. It would be ridiculous for us to serve those gods. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Is he your God? Is he our God? Will you serve him? Will you put away the foreign gods and serve him and him alone? And I'm preaching to myself. I'm reading this, applying it to myself, and I am sobered. Are we willing to do that? So here we go. Joshua interrupts them. He stops them. Stop interrupting me as I'm delivering this treaty, this covenant. Stop it. And he says, what a great response that you've given to me and God, the God of our fathers. Praise God, praise Yahweh. He's moving in your hearts. Is that what it says? Go to another church if that's what's proclaimed here. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. Let me interrupt you right there. Wait. If we were watching this in a movie, there'd be this beautiful music, and the people, there's this impassioned speech by the people, and they're really excited, and it's a high point, and Joshua says, quiet! Do you realize what you're saying? Stop! And everybody's like, what? And you and I, we're like, what? You are not able! You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. If you think you can serve him, do you understand the character of the God that you're saying, well, I can serve him. I can do that. We got this. All right. You know what? I feel really good about this. This time I'm going to go forward. This time I can feel it. I feel it in my bones. And Joshua says, stop. Stop your talking. I need to explain something. This God that we serve, remember in the wilderness, at the mountain, do you remember what kind of God we serve? He's holy. He's holy. One Jonathan Edwards wrote this. The bow of God's wrath is bent, and the arrow made ready on the string. And justice bends the arrow at your heart and strains the bow. And it is nothing but the mere pleasure of God and that of an angry God without any promise or obligation at all that keeps the arrow one moment from being made drunk with your blood. And you want to say you can serve God? Do you know the position that you're in if you say, I'll serve him? Joshua is sobering these people. Listen. You're not able to serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's jealous. What does it mean to say God is jealous? He's passionate about disobedience and obedience. And if you say you're going to serve him and you do not, will he just ignore it? He is a jealous God. It's his holiness. Jealousy is God's holiness displayed when there is a breach of faith. He's holy. He's jealous. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. Now, these two words that are used here, transgressions and sins. Sins is, that second word there is this very common term that's used to describe sin. Sin is when you have failed to do the right thing. Or the very simplest way to understand that term is missing the mark. But transgression, so you do something wrong. Transgression, however, that word transgressions there is a willful disobedience. In other words, you willfully disobey and therefore you're missing the mark. He's saying he's not going to forgive your willful disobedience or even if you just miss the mark. You see? This is weighty. This is heavy. Some have called this the most difficult passage in the entire Old Testament. You cannot serve the Lord your God. He's holy, he's jealous, he will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, and that word, the phrase foreign gods, is merely saying the gods of a different people. Yeah, he recognizes that there is a God for Israel, but there are other gods that the world serves. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good. So Joshua is laying this out very clearly. And what we might call, these are the stipulations bleeding into the curses that will come upon the people if they choose to ignore this covenant. And in the midst of this explanation, the people interrupt him again. They say, but Joshua, stop talking, because we're sure, we're certain. They say, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses. Twice you've said it now. Everybody remember this. You remember this. Let there be no mistake. I'm writing this down. You are witnesses against yourselves. You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. We got it. We understand. You need to stop talking, Joshua, because we get it. All right? We get it. Do they get it? Do we get it? Well, let's see here. You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you. So Joshua interrupts them once again. You're witnesses then. You want to go down this road? Then put away. What is this telling us once again? Put away the foreign gods among you. In other words, what have they done? Is their verbiage sincere here? We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And what are they doing in their tents? Go back to the tent. Go hide that thing. Go hide that thing. And Joshua says, hold on. I've seen this before, and I haven't seen any action from you yet. You see, their words were quick. They were ready to say it verbally. But what was missing thus far? What's been missing? It's like Joshua is saying, okay, go get rid of the foreign gods. And everybody's just staring at him. No, you don't understand. Go get rid of the foreign gods among you. And they're just staring at him. Oh, we'll serve him. We'll serve him, Joshua. We're going to serve him. And they don't move. And he says, you understand what you're saying is going to implicate you, because I know that there's something else going on. So let me say it again. You need to take care of the foreign gods. Go ahead. And they just stand there. Perhaps Joshua sees the glittering of an idol out of the corner of his eye that isn't being moved. You, okay, all right, he said then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. If you choose to serve him, you can only serve him. But you can't do both. So put him away and serve God. And what did they do? And the people turned and went home and made haste to bring about the things that had drawn their hearts away from God, and they buried those things there that day. Is that what it says? They said once again, okay. Yeah, I think Joshua's old and senile. He doesn't need to know that there's other gods being worshipped in the camp. We can just say it. And the people, verse 24, said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. There is no movement of the people, just words once again. So Joshua made a covenant. Okay? So he cuts this covenant. That's the phrase, literally. Joshua cut a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. I think a lot of perhaps what we see right there is the book of Joshua being written out. He's compiled it. Okay, we're going to keep this right there with the Ten Commandments, right there with the writings of Moses. Let this be a witness. You remember this day now. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Go home. They've sealed their fate in what they perceived to be what? An act of faith. But where their act of faith has not met their actions, it has turned into a curse. This is a cursed people. By the way, I'm not talking about Israel. He sends them away to their inheritance. What's with this terebinth? As Joshua stands there and the people sit there and deny that they are worshiping other gods, it's akin to us saying that we're wholly faithful to the Lord. And he says, okay, let's go to this terebinth over here. I'm setting up a large stone here. Now, what's significant about the terebinth? Go to Genesis 35. Beginning of chapter 35. And God said to Jacob, now another J, right? Jacob, or Israel, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. This is not new for Israel. This happened many, many, many years prior to this moment in Joshua. And again, Jacob says, put away the foreign gods. Now, what did this generation do, the foreign gods? And purify yourselves and change your garments. And the people interrupted Jacob and said, we will serve God. And they stood there with the same footprints and not adding to any footprints below their feet. No, that's not what they did. What did they do? Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. So they declared to Jacob, we will serve God alone. No. Verse 4 there of chapter 35. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears. This is a people that had been worshiping multiple gods. You think Israel was this pure nation, but no, they had this problem. They were people, humans, like you and us, me. We have a problem, and our hearts are inclined to serve any God we want to serve. And here Jacob says, put away those gods, and the people come forward, and all of a sudden there's this heap. Look at what it says. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. Where was this thing in Joshua taking place? There was a terebinth tree near Shechem. He sets this stone right on top of this place where they buried the foreign gods years before. And so the question is, if they return to that space, if Israel returns to that space, will they be worshiping the God that is the rock that is seen there, or those that are underneath the rock? They have a choice. Which God will they serve? What I see happening here is that there's nothing new under the sun, and the people of Israel are struggling once again with the thing that they struggled with many generations before. And even though they buried those idols beneath the terebinth tree, even though they did that action, what took place? Well, given a little time and a little human, what happens? They'll end up in the same place once again. Hence, Joshua says, you cannot serve him. You can't do it. Notice the number of times serve occurs in this text. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 16, the people answer, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. End of verse 18, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. There's a lot of serve, 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 serve. But there is something that's missing from this text. What's the very beginning say? They're required to serve the Lord. But even before he gets to that, what does he say? Fear him! Which part have they forgotten? Which part have they ignored? Is there any hint of fear in these people's lives? They have not done the very first thing that they were called to do. They focused on the second. And Joshua said, no, you fear the Lord and then you serve him. One without the other is going to end in disaster. And it really will. And what will happen to Israel? Will they serve other gods? Will they go down the right path? In fact, the very beginning of Judges tells us that they forsook the Lord and served other gods, and the wrath of God was... I mean, it's just like this cycle that continues. You can't serve him. The same message must be proclaimed today. You can't serve the Lord. I can't serve the Lord. You're sitting here thinking, well, I thought I was coming to a church service where we were going to be told to serve the Lord. I thought we were going to be told to obey him. You know, do these things. Make sure you do this, this, and this. Serve him. Serve Jesus. Serve him. Is that what you thought you were going to get today? Because I'm here to tell you, you can't serve the Lord. There has never been a person, save one, who's been able to serve the Lord in fear, faithfully, and purely. You can't. And if you, I give you permission to walk out anywhere that proclaims something other than that. Well, if you got to make sure you do this, make sure you do that, and you'll be good to go. You can't. You know what the most striking thing about this text is? It's if we thought you can't serve the Lord is a ridiculous statement, it's not. It's the truth, and every soul bears witness to it. Every life bears witness to it. You know it. Be honest. You can't do it. So what's more remarkable about this text? This is, if I was in the audience there and I was listening carefully and trying to understand what Joshua was saying, the first thing that I might say, only because I've had time, a lot of time, to just meditate on this text. The first thing that I would say after I've meditated on the words for a long time, and maybe perhaps God would say, hey, what about you, Joshua? What about you? What did Joshua say in the text? Joshua, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then he tells the rest of the people, you can't. And I would say, well, what do you mean? What the people ought to have said is, I don't want to go home then. I want to be a part of Joshua's house. You say you can do it. I want to be part of your house. What do you think we're seeing here in Joshua, Yeshua? I think we're seeing a glimmer of Jesus Christ. There's something different about this Joshua, not this Joshua, the Joshua, that says, if you're part of my house, if you come under the covering of my roof, we will serve the Lord. And what is the Yeshua, Jesus, we're talking about? Jesus Christ is seen here as the one, the only one in whom we can have fellowship, the fellowship of God. So the people, you can't serve the Lord. If I can't serve the Lord, then I want to be in your house, Joshua. But how does the text end? He sends them away. Go to your home. And the question is, will you go to your home under your authority, under your earnest desire to serve God, or will you submit to the household of Jesus Christ, the true Joshua, in whom we can serve the Lord? Not by your strength, but because it is his house. With whom will you have fellowship with God? Yourself or with Jesus Christ? That is a sobering thought. Because on your own, you cannot. Joshua's right. You can't do it. We've seen this before. You can't. You cannot. Don't walk out of here thinking, I've got this, God. Don't walk out of here waving your finger at God this time. We have to submit to the household of Jesus Christ. The only way that we can have fellowship with God. It's the only way. Where we say, I want to be part of his home. I want to bend the knee and be in his house. Not because I'm able, but because his house is the standard that does have fellowship with the Father. I don't need my family. I don't need the past that I've come from. I don't need this tribe or that tribe. The tribal thing doesn't matter right now. All that matters is that I would be in a house that's serving God. Will you look to Christ or not? And this is just so difficult for us to get. It's every day we have to be reminded of this. You can't do it. There's only one who can. Do you submit to him or not? Let's pray. Father, we recognize that we cannot serve you. You are a holy God and your wrath is at the ready. We recognize that you have poured out the wrath that was meant for us upon your Son, Jesus Christ, who took your wrath on our behalf. And we want to be his children. We want to be a part of his house. So we ask that you would help us to understand what that means, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself, that we would submit to your authority, that there would not be an arrogant pleading that we will serve you, but rather that we will submit to you. We will submit to you, Jesus, and on behalf of what you have done. It's in that service that we serve the Lord. So we pray that you would work in our hearts, transform us now. In Jesus' name, by his blood, we can say these things. Amen. That is the anthem of the heart. That is part of the household of Jesus Christ. He must be our righteousness. He must be our strength. And we must recognize that when the wrath of God was poured out, it was poured out on Jesus Christ. And we are a people that gladly proclaim to the world that we're unable. I can't do it. You can't do it. We say that because there is one that has and does. So let us be a body of believers that will not stop looking to the cross of Jesus Christ, that will not stop looking to him and giving him the glory for the work in each of our lives. Praise to Jesus Christ. We are loved by a great and awesome God. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.